Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." The word gospel means good news, and this is the good news of Jesus Christ that Paul is reminding them of, that he had preached to them. Notice what Paul says in verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand." Paul says they've received it, and he says they're standing in this good news of Jesus Christ. And then he says, "by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." David Guzik says this about these verses. He says, "The Corinthian Christians had done well. They received the gospel. They were doing well. They did stand in the gospel. But they had to continue to do well and hold fast the gospel Paul preached to them." And that's what he's exhorting them to do. Verse 2, "by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you believed in vain." The expression "keep in memory," Mount says that it has the idea of to hold fast mentally, to retain. Paul is saying, "I want you to keep in memory, I want you to hold on to in your mind the gospel that I preached unto you." Now, why is he telling them to keep this in memory, to hold fast to it, to hold tight to the gospel, to keep it in mind? Notice what the last part of verse 2 says, "unless ye have believed in vain." That's an interesting type of expression, "unless ye believed in vain." There were people in the church at Corinth that were denying the resurrection of the dead. Keep in mind, the church at Corinth was a huge church, thousands of people. And there were some people there that were denying the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12 of chapter 15 says this, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were some people among them that were saying, there's no resurrection of the dead. Now these people were not denying that Christ rose from the dead. They were just saying that people, when they die, don't rise from the dead. They were denying the bodily resurrection, the physical resurrection. And verses 13 and 14 say, "But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." So if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. So no wonder Paul said, he's making an argument here because these people are in danger of denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ, amongst other dangers that they're having. And so no wonder Paul then argues and makes this argument and says, our preaching would be in vain, and your faith would also be in vain if Christ be not risen from the dead. And so that's what he means in verse 2 where he says, unless you have believed in vain. Keep in memory what I preached to you. Remember the gospel unless you believed in vain. He's saying, look, you all are in danger of denying the resurrection of Christ. And if you forget the resurrection of Christ and deny the resurrection of Christ, then your faith was in vain in the first place if Christ didn't really rise from the dead. But of course, Christ did rise from the dead. And so Paul is trying to get them to see the danger they're in because of false doctrine, and he reminds them of the gospel that he preached unto them. So to stir up their memory, he reminds them of what he preached to them, and that's what we want to talk to you about this morning. The first thing Paul reminded them of is that he preached that Christ died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Now remember, the gospel is good news. And it's not good news that Christ died. It's never good news when somebody dies. How many of you have heard that somebody died and you think, wow, that's great? I mean, maybe if they suffered for a long time, but the truth is that it's not really good news that Christ died, but it is good news that Christ died for our sins. You see, because Christ died for our sins, because he took the penalty for our sins, we don't have to die for our sins. Every single one of us deserves to die for our sins. And remember, death in the Bible is not simply annihilation where you cease to exist, but it's separation from God. And when we die in our sins, we are separated from God forever in a place the Bible calls hell. And I believe in hell. The Pope put out he didn't actually put it out. It was from a conversation he had with a reporter where he said that there is no hell, that people just die and they cease to exist when they die. And that's something that the Pope apparently believes. Although the Vatican denies that. But the truth of the matter is that lots of people live like there's no hell and deny hell, and different religions deny hell. But the truth is that Jesus Christ preached on hell. He believed in hell. And Jesus actually preached more on hell than he did on heaven. When Christ died, he had to die for a purpose. And if he did not die to save us from our sins, to save us from hell, for what purpose did he die? And so there's a hell and there's a heaven. And Christ died so that we could go there. Christ died for our sins. And that's good news. Amen. Now, the second thing that Paul talks about is he was buried. Not only did he die, but he was buried. And he was buried to prove that he was dead. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Soon after Jesus died, in fact, just as soon as he died, there started being conspiracy theories put forth to explain what happened to Jesus. And one of the theories that it was put forth is that he passed out on the cross and that he was put in a tomb and that he came back to life. Now, that's been taken, if you read Lee Strobel's book, A Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, who was an investigative reporter and an atheist and who got saved. He wrote The Case for Christ, and he interviewed different medical experts and shows how that would have been impossible for a man to have gone through what Jesus went through, being scourged, beat, and as much blood as he would have lost and dying on the cross, and then to have simply passed out and being put in a cold tomb. He would have most certainly died if he wasn't already dead. Of course, we know he already was dead. But Jesus was buried, and he stayed in the tomb for 3 days, proving that he really did die. The Roman soldiers rolled a stone on front of the door, a huge stone to cover the door, and they put a Roman seal on it, and they guarded that tomb. But 3 days later, the stone was rolled away, and Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that's the next thing that Paul preached. He died, he was buried, but he rose from the dead the third day. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All of this was prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures, that Christ would come and that he would die, and that he would be buried and rise from the dead. It was fulfillment of prophecy. And the message does not end simply with that he died, was buried, and rose from the dead. The truth of the matter is that anybody can say anything, and there's no reason for us to believe it unless there's some evidence. And so now the Bible gives evidence, and it gives eyewitness accounts of the risen Christ. He was seen. That's the fourth thing. He was seen. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Peter saw him. That's what Cephas is another name for Peter. The apostle Peter saw him, and then the 12 saw him. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. So when Paul wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he said, Jesus Christ was seen by 500 eyewitnesses, many of whom are still alive. Some have passed away, but many of whom at the time of this writing were still alive. And then verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Keep in mind that James was the Lord's brother, and his own brethren did not believe in him during his earthly ministry, but afterwards they believed on him. And so he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Verse 8, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Paul says, last of all, he was seen of me also. Paul saw him. And he says, I saw him as one that was born out of due time. I've always thought that was an interesting expression. It literally means he was a premature birth. Even it's sometimes translated, it's used to indicate an abortion, but a premature baby. The Romans had an interesting practice that sometimes there would be people, the Romans had a senate, like our senate, they had a senate, and sometimes there would be people who would pay their way to get on the senate. And they maybe weren't noble people that should have been in government, much like we have today. We don't always have noble people in government. So they would pay their way, bribe their way, cheat to get on the Senate, and they would be like extra senators. And the Roman people would go around and they would call these extra senators that had bribed or cheated or whatnot. They would say that they were born out of due time. They would say they're like premature births. They would talk about them like they were a baby that wasn't fully developed and born. And in the next verse, when we study this later on in several weeks, Paul starts to say, I'm less than the other apostles. He starts to talk about himself being unworthy. And when he says, I'm one is born out of due time, he's saying, I'm unworthy. I'm less than the others. And Paul was a humble man. Paul had persecuted the church. He had done wicked things, and he was always amazed by God's grace that God would take him. And he says, I'm like one of those senators that bribed their way onto the Senate. I'm like a premature birth. He said, I'm as one born out of due time. I'm unworthy. And Paul was amazed by the grace of God. I hope you are today too. The fact that we're even saved, that we're able to sit here in church this Easter morning. And we'll conclude with this expression of Paul in verse 8. He was seen of me also. Last of all, he was seen of me also. Have you seen Christ? Have you seen him by faith? The Bible talks about seeing him who is invisible. Have you seen him by faith? Have you been born again, in other words? Have you believed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And have you been forgiven? Have your sins been forgiven? Have you been saved by the grace of God? That's the question that every person here must face this morning. Have you been saved by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and being forgiven? If you've not been saved, this is a great Sunday to get saved. Easter Sunday, the day when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, is a great day to get saved. He'll meet you right where you are. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray if there's anyone here who does not know you as Savior, that this Easter Sunday would be the day that they would turn to you in faith and receive you as their Savior. We do ask it, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.